May it please God to bless us together this evening as we continue our meditation in the Acts of the Apostles. And this evening we'll meditate on chapter 25 in the first 12 verses, from verse 1 to verse 12. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favour against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. I suppose this is one of the chapters in the Acts of the Apostles which is seldom preached upon. And yet there is instruction to us today to observe how the Lord is on the throne, and how God is able to deliver the godly out of situations which they knew nothing about. And yet here in this instance, the Apostle Paul, unknown to him, was really in danger if Festus had given in to the requirement of though the high priest and the others at Jerusalem. But we see the wonderful overruling power of the Spirit of God. And it's wonderful to think that we come today still worshipping this same God. Men may plan, but they're not able to perform it unless Almighty God allows. Now we have come now to Festus, who's taken the place of Felix as governor. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. We can see that as soon as he came there, really, the high priest, who should have known far better, and the chief of the Jews were so keen on having the Apostle Paul judged so that he might be put to death. It seems almost as soon as Festus arrived in Jerusalem, they brought him this request, and desired favour against him. That means really they desired to have that brought about, which really wasn't just. They wanted a favour from Festus. Well, there's no evidence that Festus was a godly man, but nonetheless we see how God gave him that wisdom and how God instructed him to walk in a certain way. And we still see that, don't we, today. We're thankful sometimes in our parliament those laws which evil men try to bring onto our statute book are frustrated for one reason or another. And so we see that although these people desire this favour of Festus, yet he answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart thither shortly. Well, there's no real reason, naturally, why he should have been kept at Caesarea, why he should not have been brought to Jerusalem. But of course, we know that once again there was this plan to kill him on the journey if he was to set forth from Caesarea. And so, what a blessing it is to see that God is in control. And God is in control today. He has all men's hearts in his hand. And neither Festus nor these people would have realised the overruling gracious influence of Almighty God on the Apostle Paul's behalf. And can we not say, as Paul did say when he wrote to the Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so here then Festus would not allow the apostle to be brought to Jerusalem. "Let them therefore," said he, "which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him." Clearly he was not convinced that there was, but nonetheless he requests that all those who have a case against him should go down. And no doubt, as we know, there was a good company. And so when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. So there was no real delay. The first thing really he did was to sit on the judgment seat and to command that Paul was brought forth. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Naturally speaking, it would have been very daunting, wouldn't it, to think of all these able people who were there all joined together. They were all standing around the Apostle Paul, all to accuse him and if possibly convince Festus that he was worthy of death. But again, we see the gracious hand of God influencing Festus, and Paul was able to answer for himself. And it would seem that he was not really afraid of the accusations which had been brought against him, because he was going not in his strength, he was going in the strength of the Lord God. And my friends, what a blessing it is for us today to know the same truth, that we may go not in our strength, but in the strength of Almighty God. And you see, no one can prevail against the great God. What a blessing it is to think that we have God on our side, and that God is with us, and that God is going with us. And so he says, he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all." We've noted, haven't we, as we've gone through the Acts, how the apostle was not afraid to tell the truth, however perhaps difficult it may have been, and yet he was forthright in all the things that he was able to declare. And it's an example for us, isn't it, to be able to declare the reasons. You see, he was able to give the reasons, as we read previously, when he spoke before Festus, and we shall read the reasons again, God willing, when he speaks before Agrippa. And he was not afraid of the great and glorious gospel which he loved. He loved to declare it. He loved to preach it. He loved to set it before the people. And he was not afraid. We have a wonderful example, don't we? Sometimes we may be afraid. We may be embarrassed. Oh, the Apostle Paul wasn't. And may we have a desire to truly follow the wonderful example that Paul shows to us. And then we read, "But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure. Again, you can see that he didn't really want to offend the Jews. He wanted to please them if he could. And so, Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" Now, of course, if he'd gone to Jerusalem, he wouldn't have been judged by Caesar. He would have been judged by the high priest and the Sanhedrin and all those who were against him. It would have been a very biased judgment. And so the apostle had already set before them the desire that he wanted to go and to be found at the judgment seat and to be before Caesar. And no doubt he was influenced very much in the word that God had spoken to him. And it's good to know, you know, when God speaks a word to us of direction, we need to stand by it. Remember, in the 23rd chapter, we read, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Well, that was the word that God had spoken to him. That was the word of strength to him. And therefore, surely he recognized, yes, he would go to Rome, and therefore offered this position at Jerusalem. Really, he had no alternative but to respond in this way. And he said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged." He was a Roman. "To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." Well, he gave the reasons why he should therefore be judged by Caesar. But I'm sure also he had in his mind that word of the Lord, which he'd given to him, that he would go to Rome, and the Lord would be with him at Rome, as the Lord had been with him through his life, through many changes, many ups and downs, as we've gone through these chapters in the Acts, and we've seen how God was wonderfully with him. And so we come to this statement. Then Festus then heard what the apostle said, and he conferred with the council. That wouldn't have been the Sanhedrin, it would have been the council in the town, and he therefore conferred with them. And therefore he brought to Paul this conclusion. And he answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go." And so we see the Lord was with the apostle. The Lord was appearing for him. His confidence was in his Lord. He wasn't having an easy path. He was imprisoned. And we know that Felix caused him to be put in the bonds, to be bound, and Festus the same. So he wasn't quite enjoying the freedom that he had enjoyed for those 2 years previously. But nonetheless, he was still firm in the truth of God, still firm in that way that the Lord had appointed for him. And it's good to be able to read and to understand how the Lord did go before, how the Lord did help him and delivered him from many situations, and this situation which we know, we read about here, that those, the high priest, etc., had this plan to try and kill him. But the Lord was on the throne, and we can thank God today. The Lord is still on the throne. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord has not changed. The Lord is still all-powerful. Power belongeth unto God. I know that you and I might have our faith increased to believe we have a God who can do all things. All things are possible with our God. Those things which perhaps appear impossible to us are possible with God. So as we read an account like this, may we be encouraged to know the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. He is on the throne, and only those things can come to pass which he, in his divine counsel, permits. May our hope, may our confidence be in our God. Amen.